I'm Bridie Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, I will not back down. I will not stay silent, no matter what the Democratic Party establishment tries to throw my way. Plus, Governor Bob Ferguson now has the unique distinction of being the first governor in Washington state history to violate state ethics laws. And local fourth graders were told they get to choose their gender when it comes to which sex ed class they attend this year. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month. And right now, we have a promo going on through May for 30% off an entire year, which I think is a great deal. So use the promo code USA30 at patreon.com/undivided. That's patreon.com/undivided. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here on this Monday. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback, your support of this show. I told Nicole we were taking deep breaths leading into the show today. I've got a little shake going on. It's an angry shake, but I can't decide if I'm upset, if I'm tickled pink, if I'm scared. I don't know what it is. Maybe a combination of all of the three of these things. So I was already going to be angry coming on the show today because of something that happened over the weekend, an article that was put out by the Seattle Times, and it's how I intended to start the show today. And then I got word of something as I was driving into the studio this morning that sent me through the roof. When I quit my job in TV news, so Washington State is not where I'm from. I'm from the Midwest. You guys know that. But this is where I've lived my entire adult life. After college, I came here. I've never left, despite there being a lot of reasons and opportunities to do so. And in 2021, when I was working in TV news and I was becoming increasingly disillusioned with the journalism that we were putting out, I was really upset with our coverage of the riots. I was really upset with being attacked at the riots and then having it downplayed. I was really upset with the coverage of the pandemic and the inability or lack of desire to question people in power. I had a decision to make at the time. I had an agent at the time. And I was sort of thinking, well, maybe I should try to go to one of the news networks and try to do national news and, you know, maybe look at Fox or CNN or something like that. And we were talking about it with my agent. Then I decided, you know what, or more people are doing this independent media thing. I think I could give that a shot. I think I could be really successful at it. Not a lot of people were doing it at the time. And I think my agent was like, oh, no, let's try to go to the network, because then he would continue, you know, to get paid. Whereas if I went independent, I might not make any money. And you know, he wouldn't probably represent me, which he ended up not representing me. And there's one of the reasons I went independent is I felt this strong pull inside me to start to advocate against and for some of the things I had seen when I was a mainstream journalist that just weren't sitting well with me. Like my frustration of what was happening with the pandemic and a governor who would vilify people of a different political party, call them bioreactor facilities if they didn't get the COVID vaccine, his desire to fire people who wouldn't get a vaccine that at the time, you know, we started to realize wasn't really all it was chalked up to be. You know, again, the downplaying of left-wing political violence in the city. And I was like, well, if I go, you know, try to get a job at one of the networks, I'm still going to have to bottle up all my frustrations over these things I'm seeing. And when you're a journalist, and you know, I think when you're a journalist who cares about their job, and I'm not saying I was the only journalist in Seattle who cared about their job, you know, you see things, you see people on their worst days, and you see communities on their worst days, and you become really close with people when you're in one place for that long doing journalism. And I know I'm having a big buildup because it's part of me, I'm trying to calm myself down, because I'm so upset over the what is going to be an effort to either try to ruin my reputation or get me killed. But I was, you know, at that point, I was 10 years in the state. And like I said, I'd met people in that job on the worst days of their lives, whether it was the Oso landslide or other natural disasters, or, you know, covering wildfires where people lost everything they had, or people getting fired over the vaccine, or businesses, you know, being destroyed during the pandemic or being destroyed during riots, family members whose loved ones just got killed. You meet people and you, unless you're stone cold, you form an attachment to people and to a place. And I formed an attachment to this place and to the people in it. And I like to think that over 15 years now, I have built a reputation as someone who you might not agree with politically at this point, but someone who cares and who is passionate and who wants the government to work better for the people it's supposed to serve. And so all those reasons, you know, is part of the reason I decided not to try to go to the network and get some, you know, network news job, which was absolutely an option at the time. But to do this independent thing and to stay and fight for the state I love. And I made a decision that I wasn't going to be passive anymore, that I was going to start giving my opinion. And I was going to go beyond that. I was going to try to make a difference and use all the reputation that I built and the trust that I've built. Nothing's more important than that. The trust that I'd built to try to fix this place, to try to fix Seattle. And it might be a slow process and it might feel like it's taking forever, but I know we're making a difference. How do I know we're making a difference? Because of the amount of hate, vitriol, lawfare, and efforts to vilify me that are happening right now. So over the weekend, I'm going to start with the article that angered me. But now I understand that this article is a small piece of a much bigger effort that my understanding is going to come to fruition tomorrow morning. Okay? So we're going to get out ahead of it. So there's an article in the Seattle Times, the headline, "Meet the Seattle Woman Behind a National Effort to End Same-Sex Marriage." Picture of a woman named Katie Faust. Mind you, this aired on Mother's Day on Sunday in the Seattle Times. It was written by Jim Bruner, who's the Seattle Times political reporter. And it talks about who Katie Faust is. It says, earlier this year, a national coalition of conservatives unveiled a new campaign to turn back the clock on same-sex marriage. In a promotional video, supporters of the Greater Than campaign said they want to push the U.S. Supreme Court to reverse its landmark 2015 decision, Obergefell versus Hodges, which legalized same-sex marriage nationwide. The effort challenges a decade of established legal rights for same-sex couples, rights that continue to enjoy broad public support. In Washington, marriage equality protections go back even further to a 2012 law upheld by voters. So it might come as a surprise that one of the leading activists behind the campaign to undo those rights lives in Seattle. Katie Faust is president and founder of Them Before Us, a conservative nonprofit organization that says its mission is to protect every child's right to their mother and father. So I otherwise would have probably not taken a second look at this because I don't know Katie Faust. I mean, I've heard the name before, but I wouldn't have been able to tell you what she was all about. But someone clued me in that my name was mentioned in the story. And before I get to that, you know, look, I have never not supported same-sex marriage. I talk about it on the show all the time. Maybe it's a generational thing. I've never had the position that gay people shouldn't be able to get married. I've always been in favor of same-sex marriage. And as you know, I've said, you know, I'm not religious or, you know, practicing Christian. And so a lot of some of the political beliefs that are built around, you know, religious ideology, aren't something I necessarily, I mean, I've told you I'm pro-choice. It's something that makes you guys upset sometimes, but that's just the reality. So color me shocked when somebody says I mentioned in this story about this very conservative Christian woman who holds, let's be honest, a fairly mainstream Christian belief. It's not like this is the only Christian on the planet. I mean, the Pope, for as liberal as he is, doesn't support gay marriage. So it's an odd article to begin with, because it's basically like, okay, you're calling out a Christian mother on Mother's Day for having a very mainstream Christian belief. That's kind of weird. But also I'm like, why am I mentioning this article? I don't know who this woman is. It says, later this week, Faust is scheduled to speak at the annual Lincoln Day fundraising dinner for the Snohomish County Republicans, an event to be emceed by Brandi Cruz, the former TV journalist turned conservative activist and podcaster. Other speakers for the dinner include state GOP chair Jim Walsh and Brian Haywood, the Redmond hedge fund manager and initiative financier, who is backing a measure headed for the fall ballot that would ban transgender students from participating in girls' sports at K-12 schools. So I read that in an article vilifying this woman as this right wing, hates gay people, all of this stuff. Now, all of a sudden, for really no reason, they're throwing my name in there. This is going to get so dark, you guys. This is going to get so dark. They throw my name in there. They throw Brian's name in there. I asked Brian, do you know this woman? He said, I've never heard of this woman in my life. And I'll agree sometimes to MC events. I don't raise money for political parties. Let me just say that. I don't raise money for political parties. I will, if somebody wants me to MC an event, I'm not a member of the Republican Party. I charge for that. So unless you're a nonprofit, I mean, I host events for nonprofits all the time or give speeches to nonprofits and don't charge them anything. But if a political party wants me to MC their fundraiser, a political party I'm not a member of, yeah, I'm going to charge them for that, right? And I'll agree to these. And we've got stuff booked out through like September, October. It's an important part of my income. I give speeches. I do MCing. I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know every single speaker. And it doesn't really matter to me because I'm not triggered by it. I'm not triggered by the fact that next week or this week, I'm going to be at an event with this woman who's not in support of gay marriage because I don't feel the need to have to absorb the political beliefs of every single person I ever come into contact with. So it doesn't bother me one bit. But I didn't know I was going to be there. And I thought this is just a weird thing. But then it was about guilt by association, right? Jim Bruner of the Seattle Times, this was about guilt by association. Had to do a story on a Christian woman who holds a fairly mainstream Christian belief and then has to try to ruin the reputation of me and Brian Haywood at a time when I'm speaking out in favor of girls' sports and parental rights, at a time when Brian's running initiatives that I support to speak out in favor of girls because the Democrats won't do it, and parental rights because the Democrats won't do it. Two very common sense popular policy positions. Boys aren't girls, they shouldn't play against girls, and parents have a right to know what's going on with their kids at schools. And so if that had been it, I would have been annoyed. I would have probably started the show with it today because it's about more than just like Jim Bruner. You know, they never write articles about controversial left-wing figures who hang out with the Democratic class. They never do that. You won't find anything like that. But it's like controversial mother on Mother's Day. Let's vilify her. So the story and the premise of it, even if I wasn't mentioned in it, is so Seattle Times. And it's so telling, right? But what they're trying to do here, guilt by association, but also what I was most upset about is now you've put a target on my back at a time when I'm already under a lot of kind of a heavier threat environment than normal and have been since I went to the White House. So now you're getting people all riled up in the Seattle Times about the fact that this woman who's a hateful, bigot, horrible person is going to be at this event and I'm going to be there and Brian's going to be there. So now an event that I otherwise would not have hired security to go with me to, I'm going to have to hire security to go with me to. So I was just mostly upset by that. It's like, are you trying to get me killed? You probably would be happy if I died, but are you trying to get me killed? But then I was like, so I was thinking about this article a lot, right? And I still thought it's so weird. Why do an article on this woman just because she's going to be at this event this week? Why throw my name into it? This morning, I found out why. Because this is part of a concerted effort by the Seattle Times. Whether the Seattle Times knew it was being used in this way, I don't know. And the Democratic Party and Democratic operatives to try to destroy my reputation because we are that effective in advocating for girls' sports and parental rights. So this is a press release that was sent out to all the media in the state this morning about me. It's from a group called Washingtonians for Ethical Government. Doesn't that sound nice? Tuesday morning, Washingtonians for Ethical Government, a citizen campaign and government watchdog group, is filing a formal request for investigation into Brian Haywood's Let's Go Washington PAC for at least 159 instances of undisclosed and unreported political advertising by right-wing content creator Brandi Cruz promoting Haywood's 2026 anti-LGBTQ ballot initiatives. Washingtonians for Ethical Government is filing the complaint with the Washington State Public Disclosure Commission, detailing dozens of examples where Cruz advertised the initiatives to her more than 800,000 followers, urged voters to sign initiative petitions, and attacked opponents of Let's Go Washington. Cruz also appeared at multiple Let's Go Washington rallies and events promoting Haywood's initiatives. In fact, this weekend, Cruz is emceeing another event with Haywood, as well as Katie Faust, national anti-gay marriage activist, at a fundraiser for the Snohomish County Republicans. It says media advisory for Tuesday, May 12th, 2026, Washingtonians for Ethical Government to file PDC complaint concerning violations of political spending by Let's Go Washington and right-wing political commentator and advertiser Brandi Crews. Details will be released 10 a.m. Tuesday, May 12th at a virtual press conference. So I saw that this morning and I thought, what the hell is this? So their argument in this complaint, it's ludicrous and hilarious. It's that because I have advertisers on my show, I mean, let's be clear. I have never been paid a cent by Let's Go Washington. I would pay someone else to let me advocate for girls and women. Every event I've ever done for them, which has been many, every hour I've taken of my personal time on weekdays and weekends, every mile I have traveled, every speech I have given, I haven't been paid a cent for. I'm speaking up for those initiatives because it's the morally correct thing to do, says 80% of the population. There is no greater honor for me than to have built a trusted reputation and a large platform that I can now use to advocate for those girls, to stand side by side with them, to hopefully make a difference in the state that I love. There's no greater honor. I don't need to be paid a cent to do that, nor have I been. Let's Go Washington, and you can see it with the PDVC. They've never paid me a cent. And this group knows that. They can't argue that because the spending would be in there. So what they're saying is because I am an advertiser, right? We have run ads on the show, that when I cover Let's Go Washington, when I tell you I support the initiatives, here's how you can sign them, that is essentially an in-kind contribution to Let's Go Washington. Now that's hilarious, right? Because then the Seattle Times editorial board, or you would have to say then anytime that Let's Go Washington or Brian Haywood does an interview with the Seattle Times, it's an in-kind contribution to his campaign. It's insane on its face. But the point is not to file a PDC complaint or have an investigation that will actually lead to anything, because it won't. The point is to harm my reputation to the point where they hope that people won't trust me, won't listen to me, when I continue to advocate for girls and women and parental rights. Now let's take a closer look at this group that's filing it, because what they want is to use the media as a tool, press release, and get entities like the Times or whoever it is to just print that this is the accusation, that she's colluding with them to, what, keep boys out of girl sports? Guilty as charged. Collusion in the worst possible way. But they want they want the toothpaste out of the tube. Once you take the toothpaste out of the tube, you can't get it back in. So they want the media to be useful idiots, which they will be and they have been, and to publish, we're doing this big investigation, PDC, with no merit whatsoever. But by the time the headlines are written, the headlines are written. And lest you think this group, Washingtonians for Ethical Government, oh, well, it's Washingtonians for Ethical Government, Brandi. Don't you support ethical government? Let me tell you a little bit about this group. Washingtonians for Ethical Government. Here's their website. Citizen-powered campaign and government watchdog for the Evergreen State. But look at what they focus on. In fact, they hadn't written anything since 2024, and before then, 2019. Most of what they write about is, at the time, was about Tim Iman. It was about Tim Iman. Anti-conservative. I mean, if they were really an active group, Washingtonians for Ethical Government, the top story on there would be the fact that Governor Bob Ferguson just became the first sitting governor in Washington state history to be found in violation of state ethics laws. If they were really a watchdog for ethical government. But no, this is just about a hit list on conservatives who they don't like. So that tells you a little bit about that group. But then in that email, when they put out the press release, RSVP for link to join. Kristen at Powerhouse Strategies. Kristen at Powerhouse Strategies. Let's look at Powerhouse Strategies, shall we? So the press release was sent out by a woman who works for Powerhouse Strategies, which is a progressive political strategist. It says progressive issues, labor unions, ballot initiative campaigns from around the U.S. come here for media, digital strategy, messaging, website, and other communication services. Huge wins for childcare, education, long-term care, and taxing mega millionaires and billionaires. And there they have a picture from Powerhouse Strategies' efforts to defeat another Brian Haywood initiative, ending the long-term care tax. So don't be confused by Washingtonians for Ethical Government. It's an organization that sounds like it's not partisan, but it's run by the most partisan political strategists in the nation who are trying to, as we speak, defeat the Let's Go Washington initiatives and have done so before. And now they're taking aim at me. Now, one of the reasons I say, and here's the other thing with the Seattle Times and this, the collusion. Can you go back to the Faust connection, Nicole? So again, what are the chances of this? In that Seattle Times article about Katie Faust, even the writer Jim Bruner admits that Faust is little known locally, but she has more of a national prominence. Little known locally. What are the chances that someone who is little known locally, first of all, what are the chances I would know them? It's why I didn't. She's little known locally, but you still tied me to her. And what are the chances that the Seattle Times puts that article out and then this press release comes out also talking about my connection with Katie Faust, which is none. I have no connection with Katie Faust, besides the fact we're going to be in the same room apparently this week. Collusion. And the Seattle Times might be an unwitting participant, but here's what happened. Democratic strategist, I guarantee, emailed Jim Bruner about this woman, Katie Faust, who was going to be at this event this week, said Brandi Cruz is also going to be there, Brian Haywood is also going to be there. So the useful idiots at the Seattle Times wrote a hit piece, and then it would gain leverage and give leverage to the press release this morning where they announced an investigation into me and Brian Haywood. For me, taking a position, it's First Amendment protected position. And don't believe me. Believe the ACLU. Believe the Washington State Supreme Court. They had a ruling years ago. You put this up, Nicole? They had a ruling years ago. Washington State Supreme Court says endorsements by talk show hosts are not campaign contributions. So they know what they're trying to do is not going to result in anything. But that's not the point of it. The point of it is to try to hurt my reputation. The point of it is to try to get the media to help them hurt my reputation. And the result of it might even be to get me killed. Because they know what tying me to a woman who's anti-gay marriage and they call her anti-trans and all these things. They know in this political climate what can happen. Surely they know that I've already been assaulted and attacked and had police at my home and been harassed. A woman was just convicted of harassment. Just pled guilty to harassment for being angry at my coverage, for threatening to come to my home and harm me because of my coverage of protecting girls' sports. And here you have the Seattle Times and Democratic operatives working together to try to put a target on my back and to try to take 15 years of work that I've done advocating for things I believe in, never being paid a dime to do so, and to try to ruin my reputation. So what? So I can't continue to be as effective. And that's why I said at the beginning of the show, I don't know if I'm mad or tickled pink. Part of me is, wow, how nice. Wow, you must really think that we're doing a good job on the show. You must really think that we're making a difference if you're willing to go to these lengths to try to harm my reputation. And I will say from a personal perspective, it's been a couple weeks for me and us here at Undivided. I don't tell you guys about every little thing that happens. I don't put upon you every little threat. I don't put upon you every little thing of lawfare or every little whatever it is. Some of them, if newsworthy, sure. But there is an element of doing this job where that kind of comes with it. But to be frank, like, I'm not a big famous podcaster. I do local politics. I do a show about Washington state politics. We dabble sometimes in national. It's insane the amount of lawfare and threats and nonsense that we have to deal with just to bring this show to you. I mean, I mentioned it briefly, but just in the last couple weeks. I mean, some leftists filed a PDC complaint against me. That takes time and energy. It's totally nonsensical. Now we've got this. They're going to have a big press conference and publish all these things, vilifying me as a tool of Let's Go Washington because I don't think boys should play against girls. I had a federal defamation suit filed against me that was totally frivolous, that I have to believe because of all of this was part of a strategy from Democrats. It cost me thousands of dollars just to get it to go away. Not to mention the safety concerns that we're living under. And now renewed safety concern event I wouldn't have had to have security for as a local podcaster. I'm not Ben Shapiro. You name it, that I think would have to live with some of these things and expects to live with some of these things. But this is like the depths that they're willing to go to in this state to maintain every ounce of power. Anyone who even poses the smallest threat to them, they will try to squash. The good news is, I don't care. The good news is, when you try to come harm my reputation, I don't care about my reputation. Because the people who I care about their opinion, they don't have any doubts about my integrity. Now, the safety thing, yes, that's bothersome. I don't want to die. I'd prefer not to, honestly. I'm having a good time. But I don't know. You know, I'm not going to be deterred by any of this. I think that's obvious. I'm not going to be deterred by any of this. In fact, I'm going to do more. We're going to do more things with Let's Go Washington to stand up for girls, to stand up for parents. We're gonna dive in. So if they thought they were going to deter me, they're not going to deter me. So I don't know what they're trying to push me to, unless the goal really is just to get me killed. And I thought, just to really anger them today, since they say that every time I talk about Let's Go Washington, it's an in-kind contribution, I thought we'd have Brian Haywood on the show today to talk about all of this. Brian Haywood, welcome to Undivided.
Fun times in the war zone.
I guess this might be an in-kind contribution. Even a news segment, in-kind contribution. Now, do you have a Bible nearby?
I've got an electronic version. Does that count?
Yeah, well, you just put your hand on it for me. Have you ever paid, has Let's Go Washington ever paid me to come to a rally, to take a position on the initiatives, ever at all?
Never, not once.
Okay. Any doubt in your mind I actually believe in the initiatives? And
not
I don't know,
more.
God, think they're a good idea.
Well, especially in this state, like there's the politically risky thing is to support the initiatives, right? It's not, you don't do that for ratings, right? I mean, because the cancel culture of the media is all to cancel you for even getting near this, right? And even though the majority of the people support protecting girls' sports and parents' rights, that it's crazy. It's crazy, crazy, cool. Crazy.
Yeah, it's either to ruin our reputation or to try to get us to back down. First of all, I don't care about my reputation at all. And also, we're not going to back down. If anything, I would like to help with more events between now and November. So
we'll
pack the schedule, right? But I also have to ask you on a more serious note, you know, we also talked about the Seattle Times article, and you can see the coordination now between the two of these things. You know, tying us in this very weird way to this woman who I think I'd heard of before, but I didn't really know what she's about, Katie Faust. People don't know, but when we sign up to do events, we aren't given a guest list or a speaking list, but not that it would matter. Look, right. So, you know, for you seeing that, knowing what you're doing, right? You're trying to get these initiatives through and being, you know, tied to this woman, you've never met her, right?
No, I didn't even know who she was until I read until several people said, oh, have you read Bruner's article? Mm-hmm. No, who is this person? Oh, what? Oh, I see. Oh, it's guilt by association. I don't know whether she's a good person or not. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But it's guilt by association, and it's clearly tied to the initiatives, right? It's an attempt. And I even texted Bruner about it. Like, this, you should be better than this. And he's like, oh no, I was just noting that she's getting enough notoriety that she's with these famous speakers. Like, he was trying to make it sound like he was doing us a favor. And it's clear. So in and of itself, this thing just happened was kind of of interesting. Oh, well, what's going on here? What, and why is he doing this? And why is this such a link here? And why is he covering this and not a million other things that the people that are actually in charge of this state, mm-hmm. right? There's a whole bunch of garbage over there that's not getting covered, but he covers this. And then this morning I see this news release and I go, oh,
there it is.
Okay, the fix is in. There it is. How convenient, what a coincidence that this just happened like this.
Yeah, because you know, and I know you were telling me what he said to you, and he said he also had never heard of her before he did the story. That's weird. He started to do an in-depth story on somebody he'd never heard of. Clearly, what happened is one of these Democratic operatives leaked this to him, like, do you know this woman and how evil she is? And she's going to be at this event with Brandi Cruz and Brian Haywood. And they were getting ready to put out this press release saying, and they, you know, mentioned that in the press release. The level of coordination here, people need to understand, all because we want lower taxes, constitutional taxes, girls' sports to be protected, parental rights. I mean, what do you make of, as you see behind the scenes and the sausage being made, of this really vile, concerted effort to sort of destroy your life?
No, well, the interesting thing is that we started hearing rumors. Like, you know, there's this group of people that sort of have tea or lunch or whatever on with both sides. Like the sort of people in the middle, they meet together, they talk, and they pass rumors from one to the other. I'm finding this stuff that happens, right? It's not my world. I don't play there, but I talk to people and they'll come back and they'll go, oh, guess what's happening over there, right? And they'll say, oh, they really want, Brian, they want you to run this initiative because what they think they can do, especially on the income tax, mm-hmm. they want you to run this initiative because then they can make you a bad guy. They're going to paint you as the villain, and then they'll run on Brian's a bad guy, vote against this. That was the strategy, yeah. right? And I think they've had a separate strategy saying, hey, Brandi Cruz is hitting the mark and people are listening to her. Let's stop her from getting a press pass. And if we can make her a MAGA right wing, you know, whatever thing, whatever scary words they can come up with, they can try to ruin your reputation. And it's clearly a coordinated event. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, I think, I don't know for sure, cause I don't see their inside stuff, but this has got the smell and the mark of the SEIU 775 yeah. all over it.
Yeah.
This is union thuggery. This is how they play the game. It's union thuggery.
Yeah. But again, I mean, you know, if it weren't you, they were going to vilify, it would be someone else. This is
somebody
the name
else.
Of the game.
Yeah.
It's not getting yeah. at the actual policies and the whether it's a good thing right. or a bad thing or common sense. It's that's how they do it. It's what they do with Donald Trump on a larger scale. Oh, pay attention to Orange yeah. Man bad, not yeah. how we're ruining our own state. But I digress quite a bit. The good news is we shall not be deterred. And so you guys are going to be moving forward with, now that the referendum, they've said you can't do it, with an initiative. So when can we expect signature gathering on the repeal of the income tax to begin?
So that right now we got the titles last week from the Attorney General through the Secretary of State. And what happens next is there's like a 5-day waiting period for these titles that we just got last week for someone to challenge it, right? Someone mm-hmm. can say, we don't like the ballot title. And what's been happening is Pacifica Law, who is Nick Brown's firm, right? And spun out of Gates where Ferguson was. One of the Attorney General's most highly paid law offices, right? They use Pacifica Law all the time. Pacifica Law, who's friends with the Attorney General's office, challenges the ballot title that the Attorney General wrote. Why is that important? Well, there's 5 days for them to challenge it. They've done this as a delay tactic. If they can delay this out, they can give you less time to gather signatures. So they delay it. And then next it has to go to the Thurston court mm-hmm. to be listened to. And that normally takes 6 to 10 days. That's taking months. So I'm hoping that we could be doing this in, you know, 6 to 10 days so we could actually have the sheets out. But there's a small chance that the political shenanigans, the chicanery that's going on, right, could delay it a little bit further out. And that may cause us to shift something.
Yeah. And so if they have to delay it too long, you could be looking at holding it until 2027. Just to end on this, there has been this consternation, I think, and you've heard a lot of it, I've heard a lot of it, amongst people who support repealing the income tax, that you shouldn't run an initiative this year because it's a midterm election cycle in a state where the president is deeply unpopular, and that's going to drive vote out from the far left or whatever it is. So for you, why, you know, and that I think that's a real issue. I'm not saying that that's not worthy of conversation, but I disagree with it and I have my own reasons, but why do you think we should do this year and try to repeal it this year as opposed to next year?
I've got several reasons. One is I watched in January and February as they just wrote 1,500 terrible bills to make things worse, right? If we wait another year, they'll do that again in January, February of 27. So we think we're fighting the income tax, but there could be a payroll tax, there could be a wealth tax, there could be a number of other things that come out that we may be fighting in 27. And this is sort of lost in the shuffle somehow, it'll get confused. Number two, I don't think that you give up the narrative. I think our because things are so in such bad situation, our infrastructure, our spending is out of control, our schools are failing, and they're much worse than Mississippi now, which is just insane that we've let them drop like that. Our OSPI, our Attorney General, I think the mess that we're in, if you notice, they spend all their time talking about the other Washington. Washington, D.C., Trump this, abortion that, right? And I think really what needs to be, someone needs to be paying attention to what's going on right here in this state, and we need to make that case this year at the ballot box in November. That includes the income tax, it includes the spending, it includes five Supreme Court justices, it includes legislators that voted for the tax that should be challenged. And I think that if we concede and don't fight it this year, I don't know that we'll live to see it next year. And that's my final point is that I'm talking to people every day who are literally saying, I love Washington State, but I don't know if I want to keep paying this rain tax, if I'm going to get charged the same. And these are people who are not Republicans. I'm talking to sort of Democrat leaning, successful entrepreneurs who are saying, why should I be here if it's going to penalize me for success?
Yeah.
And they're already buying houses. Some of them have already bought houses out of the state.
Yeah, that last point you made is kind of why I lean toward 2026, because I'm seeing a group of people in this state who've been dormant politically activated suddenly. And I don't know how long that activation is gonna continue.
Right,
and these are people
in
the tech sector who have the money to contribute and to try to fight it. And so I don't think sitting on that, that's my argument for it. I don't think sitting on it for 18 months or whatever is a good idea. I think that's a very, very bad idea. All right, Brian. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this in-kind contribution. but I do hope that next time you do an interview with the Seattle Times, they're also calling that an in-kind contribution. Correct.
That's why they don't cut. The CCA should be their giant in-kind contribution, right? Their climate lab, the paid advertising for the CCA. Good heavens.
Yep. Rules for thee, not for me. You know, we're not relenting. If anything, now I'm angrier. If the goal, I don't know what the goal is, but getting me angrier and getting you more motivated, I just don't think is a great idea, not a good strategy. All right, Brian Haywood, Let's Go Washington. And people can pre-order, right? Even though you're not sure when the initiative, letsgowa.com.
Letsgowa.com. Okay. We've had almost 5,000 people have already pre-ordered sheets.
Cool.
And that's last year when we did it with the 2066 on the natural gas. In 4 months, we only got about 3,000 people. We're already at 5,000 people on this one. There is grassroots unhappiness with this stupid income tax. People are fed up with it.
Yeah, I mean, they know that you're going to be able to gather the signatures. It's just a matter of the window of time. All right, keep us updated. Brian Haywood, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, and he also just brought up something in terms of the fight that I didn't even remember. They also took away my press pass. I mean, they took away my press pass. We are right now, as we speak, in court, continuing to try to get my press pass, Ari Hoffman's, Jonathan Cho's. They do that, probably get somebody, I'm assuming Democrats, convince this person to file a federal defamation suit against me, which, again, ton of money to get just dismissed because it was totally frivolous. They're doing these frivolous things, Lawfare, to try to ruin my reputation. They have the Seattle Times publishing where I'm going to be this week with a right winger to try to, I don't know, get me killed. I'm a local podcaster. This is unheard of. It is unprecedented. Look, national figures go through this kind of stuff more often than they let people know. But we're just two girls who love the state, who love the truth. And we're not going to back down, but man, it's outrageous. So, and you know, we'll add the income tax one now. What do they say? 159 undisclosed advertisements for Let's Go Washington? 160. So they're going to start gathering signatures, I think, pretty soon for the initiative to repeal the income tax. And guess what? I'll do free speeches on that, too. I'll go to rallies on that as well. And we'll see what they want to do about that. Wild. Don't worry, guys. I'm in good spirits. I'm fine. It'll be great. And no, I'm not going to cancel this event I'm going to. Oh, but gosh, because a Christian who doesn't support gay marriage is going to be there? No, I'm not canceling. I will be there with a little more security than I'd planned, but I will be there for sure. All right, coming up next, Governor Bob Ferguson, a walking ethics violation. First, summer is right around the corner, although, oh my gosh, does it feel like summer today or what? I got up so early and went on a walk with Lucky. It was like almost too hot for a sweatshirt this morning. It's like 6:30 in the morning, and I was like, it is hot out here. But anyway, in the summer, we're in the backyard a lot. We have people over for fires, and when we can have fires, and barbecues, etc. And then you got all those judgmental eyeballs looking at your house. Oh, wow, your house is dirty. Your roof is dirty. No, get on Valentine Roofing's schedule. They can still fit you in if you get priority scheduling right now before they get too busy. They can still get there within 3 weeks. Maybe you need your roof inspected or cleaned, or you need a new roof. You don't want to be having people over in the backyard and you got roofers up replacing your roof. Get it on the schedule now. Get it done before you even have people over. And then you'll be enjoying your backyard instead of worrying about your roof or exterior cleaning or your gutters or whatever it is. We all have enough on our to-do list for the summer. So let them take care of it. So go to 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing. Another thing, as gas prices go up and oil and whatever it is, cost of materials are going to go up as well. So it hasn't quite hit this industry yet. Before it does, make sure you lock in your pricing. So 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing. Make sure you tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided. Another way to fight the machine that's fighting me, support the businesses that support us because they can't put us under when we have that much support. All right, Governor Bob Ferguson, a little good news. It's not good news. It's bad news for the state, but I think it's funny. He becomes the first sitting Washington governor, according to the Center Square, to be found in violation of ethics laws in over 30 years. And the only reason they're giving that qualifier in over 30 years, because the board that decides these things has only been around since 1995. So since the ethics board was in existence for these sorts of things, Bob's the only governor to have violated state ethics laws. So this finding, it's basically an agreement with the governor that, yes, did these things and he's going to have to pay a fine. But this all stems from a story that came up in the summer of 2025. So you remember Mike Webb? Mike Webb was the former right-hand man of the governor long before he even got into the governor's office. And he helped him with previous campaigns. And then he became, you know, one of the top advisors in the governor's office when Bob Ferguson took office. And he, look, I've been covering politics in the state for a while. He's always had kind of a bad reputation towards women. And some of it was like, I can't really prove it, and accusations made. But then these stories started to come out last year that Mike Webb was treating women in the governor's office horribly. And so there was just so much pressure that Mike Webb got pushed out. But then in June of 2025, Governor Ferguson, after he was pushed out for his treatment, alleged treatment of women in the office, Ferguson let him fly on the state plane. Let him fly on the state plane. So it says Mike Webb, former governor, chief strategy officer, resigned from the governor in March of 2025. Although he was no longer employed, they were allowed to travel with Governor Ferguson on the state patrol operated aircraft on June 26, 2025. Governor Ferguson invited Mike Webb on the state patrol aircraft because he had a meeting in the Tri-Cities on the same day that Governor Ferguson was scheduled to fly there. Governor Ferguson knew there was an extra seat on the aircraft, so they offered it to Mike Webb. Governor Ferguson admits that in hindsight, Mike Webb's presence on the aircraft may have given the wrong impression that he has a role in the governor's administration, which he does not anymore. Ferguson admits that they made a mistake and it will not happen again. So he was essentially found guilty of two different violations: using state property, government property for personal gain or the gain of another, and then using his position as governor to essentially gain an advantage for Mike Webb, that being a free private plane flight across the state. So Governor Ferguson agrees that he is going to pay a fine. Well, he got fined $4,000, but it'll be $2,000. They'll cut it in half. They'll like suspend half of it if he doesn't commit any new ethics violations. So Bob Ferguson, the first ever sitting governor in Washington state history. Isn't that the kind of stuff the Seattle Times should be more focused on, an in-depth article than some woman few people know and being a right-wing Christian conservative? You'd think so, right? One other note I wanted to make about Bob Ferguson, because I saw this over the weekend, and man, it angered me. So he did a photo op at the Washington State Patrol Memorial Wall. So this is the wall of fallen state troopers. So I was honored to speak with at the Washington State Patrol Memorial Ceremony this week. Our fallen will never be forgotten. The names of fallen WSP officers, and he doesn't even, they're troopers. Doesn't even know what to call them. On a memorial wall at the academy where people can reflect on their service, their stories are stark examples of the dangers law enforcement officers face every day. Even with that knowledge, our law enforcement officers continue to put on that uniform. Washington State is grateful for your service. I tell you what, like the heat of a thousand suns ran through my body when I saw that. For a variety of reasons. I mean, he, you know, spent his time as AG trying to throw police officers in prison for murder and never said anything in the world about the defund the police movement, which has made the jobs of law enforcement officers exponentially more dangerous. But I also blame Bob Ferguson in part directly for the murder of Washington State Patrol Trooper Christopher Gadd. I will never stop bringing it up. I will never let it go. Bob Ferguson, the sanctuary policies that he supported and defended as AG and that he supports and defends today, allowed for the illegal alien who killed Trooper Christopher Gadd to be in our state and enjoy protections in our state and safety in our state. So I'm sorry, you don't get to defend the policies that led in part to Christopher Gadd's murder and then be at the Washington State Patrol Memorial Wall. And you know what? Shame on anyone who allowed the governor to be there. And I get it that the chief of the patrol is a direct appointee of the governor. And sometimes you feel like you don't have a choice. But I would have given him two middle fingers and said, you can fire me if you don't like it, but you're not invited to the wall. We don't want you within 100 feet of it. Absolutely outrageous. So that made me mad. All right. Coming up next, kids, you know, having sex ed lessons. We talk about this a lot and some of the controversy around what kids are taught. But at one school district, the kids are also being allowed to choose whether they want sex ed for boys or sex ed for girls in the fourth grade. We'll discuss that coming up next in our segment, Unbelievable. First, there's a lot of investors right now focused on AI, crypto tech, and I'm not saying that those aren't good places to be focused, but also there's a lot to look at right now in energy. And our friend Zach Abraham thinks that energy right now could be, you know, one of the biggest risk factors, especially with what's happening in the Middle East as it pertains to your retirement portfolio. So he's going to have one of his free live webinars on that very topic. It's coming up May 21st at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. So Zach will explain how every market is driven by energy. He'll also discuss the impact energy has on inflation and how that could potentially affect your retirement plan. Plus, of course, he'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So join Zach's Impact of Energy webinar May 21st, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. It's free. Register now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. You can also subscribe to Zach's daily podcast on YouTube and, yes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. I trust Zach with my retirement planning because he's not a moron. He doesn't fall for woke nonsense. That's my commercial. I want someone with a good head on their shoulders, a good conservative head on their shoulders managing my money. All right, with that, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Boop. All right, we'll do two quick unbelievables today since my rant in the top block went on literally forever. Snoqualmie Valley School District sent a letter to parents of fourth graders. Yes, fourth graders are getting sex ed these days, which, you know, as long as it's age-appropriate type stuff, although the parent who sent me this was a little concerned because part of the curriculum was like teaching the boys about like touching themselves for pleasure. And that's weird, isn't it? Don't you feel like that's at that age is a little strange? But here's what really caught this parent's eyes. It says, the lessons will be taught by your school's fourth grade teachers in collaboration with your school counselor. All have received professional development around the content and will be teaching the lessons as written to ensure an equitable learning experience for students in all classrooms. The lessons will be taught in classrooms with students separated into boy-girl groups. The content taught in each classroom will be identical. All students have the opportunity to choose the classroom which feels most comfortable to them. Okay. Feels most comfortable to them. So why in the first place is it divided between boys and girls, especially since they're saying that the content taught in each classroom will be identical? Well, it's because when you're a fourth grader, and I imagine even a little bit older than that, learning about these things around, if you're a girl, boys, or a boy, girl, girls can probably be a little embarrassing. And you can feel a little shy and you won't take in the lesson as much because you're worried about them saying these things that are making you uncomfortable and you're around girls or you're around boys and they're cooties or whatever it is. So separating them makes sense, but now it says that students can have the opportunity to choose the classroom which feels most comfortable to them. So if you've got a fourth grader, you guys, so if you've got a fourth grade boy and he decides that he's a girl and so being in with the girls makes him more comfortable, what about all the other girls? Do you think it makes them comfortable to have a boy in there? Of course not, but nobody ever cares about the girls. Nobody ever cares about the girls' comfort, the girls' feelings, or anything. This state has lost its freaking mind. And if you're going to do that, just put them all in the same room. Just put them all in the same freaking room. No, the fourth graders. And what kind of parent? Fourth grade? Oh my gosh, I shudder to think of the parents of a fourth grader who thinks they're transgender and who wants to go sit with the girls and learn about sex ed and puberty or whatever it is they're teaching the kids in the fourth grade. Absolutely insane. What is this next one? Oh, it appears they're talking about transgender descriptions as well. You just tossed this in, Nicole, so I don't really know what this says. So it says one of the things they're going to teach, and this was sent to parents, so I will give them credit for that, that this was sent to parents ahead of time so they could review the content and they can... And they can opt their child out if they want to. So you just threw this in. What does this have?
Right. I just threw this in because I found it in there that they are kind of taking out the descriptions of transgender and the explanations of it. Like maybe that got pushed back against. But then they're leaving in there separating kids by body parts. So this is what's going to happen if you have this body part. Not if you're a girl. But if you have this body part, this is what's going to happen.
Have the class brainstorm puberty changes as you write them on the board. Make three columns. People with penises and testicles.
Mm-hmm.
People with uterus and ovaries. And then C, everyone. So then they ask the class which belongs in which column. So it's like, yeah, you can't do boys or girls.
No.
And then it says breast development. Everyone. Most people with a uterus and ovaries will experience breast development.
Yeah, they're no longer referred to as boys and girls.
Yeah, there it is. But and look, like to be fair, this stuff comes down from the state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that this is the same for other fourth grades. I'm not trying to single out the Snoqualmie Valley School District, but this was the one that was sent to us. So
be aware.
All right.
Be on the lookout.
Let's get to a second edition of Unbelievable. Scrub-a-dub-dub in the taxpayer tub. So we have the World Cup coming up in Seattle and a brand new, very, very expensive Seattle waterfront that I think looks beautiful, by the way. Compared to what it used to look like with the big highway running through it, it does look beautiful. It cost a lot of money. It took a lot of time to revamp. And I've been down there where it looks okay, but there still is. You can spend $10 trillion on the waterfront. But unless you want to get rid of and deal with the homeless drug addicts, it's still going to be a place that isn't enjoyable to visit. So down by the brand newly, again, also newly remodeled ferry terminal, there is a fountain that was taken out during the remodel and then put back in. And not a surprise, what do you think the fountain's being used for on a daily basis? Homeless drug addicts to take showers in it. And in fact, somebody told me that they saw an individual pleasuring himself right by this fountain the other day. So I got sent this picture. This woman, wow, is she not relaxed? First of all, look how much bubbles and suds are in this fountain, which of course ruins the fountain. Has to be cleaned. And the day after I posted this, I think Saturday or Sunday, when it had been sent to me, the sender said that she was in there for hours. You guys, hours, reading a paper, had some snacks, had a beverage, had her Crocs off, lounging, and turned it into, somebody turned it into a bubble bath. Because, I mean, they sell, you know, soap and dish cleaner and laundry detergent up at the markets of stolen goods on 3rd Avenue. So somebody had to dump an awful lot in this fountain to make it that bubbly. And there she is, just hanging there, thankfully with her clothes on. But this isn't the, I think what shocks me about it is she was allowed to do it for hours. And there's no one down there who's going to be like, hey, this is a civilized society and this is a place for tourists. Get the hell out of the tub. Fountain. Like hours. We just allow it. That's like just acceptable behavior now. And then the day after I posted it, I was told that the fountains, they cleaned it out. But this happens regularly. Just take the fountain out. We know what any fountain in downtown Seattle is going to be used for. There's going to be probably naked people in there trying to bathe. So just take it out or take the water out, especially ahead of the World Cup. So we reached out to the City of Seattle department that deals with the waterfront, and we asked them about this. We also asked them about the guy who was Jay Owen in the bushes next to the thing. There's been nude people in this fountain. And we asked him, how much money have you spent having to clean this thing out and deal with it? And what is your plan for the World Cup? Because the last thing we need is people from all over the world. I mean, I don't think it should be happening now. We have tourists down there every day. We have citizens, taxpayers down there every day. They shouldn't have to take the ferry over from Bainbridge Island and see people taking a bubble bath in a taxpayer-funded fountain. Although those people vote for it, so maybe they should see it. So we'll, no response yet, but we'll let you know what they say about, and this isn't the only fountain this is happening. It's just stupid. Look, you know what's going to happen if you put a fountain there. How dumb can you be? And you probably paid 10 times more for that fountain than a private company would have paid to have a fountain built on private property. And now you're paying all this money having to clean it, and you're not doing anything. Chicken, sit in there and take a bubble bath for hours. God grant me the serenity to keep fighting for this state and this city. All right, if you are thinking about leaving the state because you don't want to see people taking bubble baths in taxpayer-funded fountains, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. He gets great reviews. Jim H., 5 stars. We packed our bags, hit the road to a new state, but we'd jump at the chance to work with Wes again in a heartbeat. A giant shout-out to Ebby for her incredible support as well, unwavering dedication, tireless effort. Together, they turned our long-distance deal into a breezy walk in the park from beginning to end. I love to hear that. Go to sellwithwest.com. You can peruse, go from sellwithwest to soldwithwest. Peruse some of the recent listings that Wes has been able to sell for clients, which I think is great. Just see what they've been able to accomplish. But right now, I don't know if you've looked at listings. There's a ton of houses going on the market, especially in that, I don't know, 2 million to 5 million range. Gee, that is so strange. What possibly could be driving that? I think I saw 88% increase. So if you're selling your home, that of course is going to make a difference because there's going to be more competition. So Wes is going to come in. He specializes in this, making sure your listing stands out. It might mean they have to come in, do some cosmetic upgrades, but he can go through the whole strategy with you and talk over any concerns you might have. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, let's get to a little bit of national news, although I know we're going to go late today, but that's okay. Fine. Do you have anywhere else to be? Just work? Oh, okay. So Gavin Newsom comes out, and I think he's trying to do a lot of things to set himself up for his presidential bid. And so he posted something that might seem like on its face, maybe, I guess, like a nice thing and a good idea. He said, huge news! California just became the first state in America to provide free diapers to all new parents, launching this summer. Since I became governor, we have made preschool free, school meals free, and expanded paid family leave. Stop talking about lowering costs for families. Do it. First of all, I know, it's not free. And he capitalizes it. Free preschool, free school lunches, free diapers. No, it's not free. The taxpayers are footing the bill for it and subsidizing other people for all these things, obviously. But the most egregious part of this, and I think if you know how progressive politics works, you could already tell that they're probably going to spend way more on these diapers and administering the program than if you just gave the families money to go out and buy their own diapers. And so before long, because the deal is with an organization called Baby to Baby, which, like, there's some tie there between his wife and the organization, but also it's like a company run by rich actresses and elites. And it's like, I think, organic diaper or something. It's like a special diaper, right? Okay. Like the baby cares. The baby doesn't care. But anyway, so off the bat, people are like, oh, they're running the numbers. Like, okay, if you send a family home with 400 of these diapers, here's how much it costs the state versus if you just gave them the money to buy $400 or diapers from Costco. And it's like way more expensive. So this was one post I thought broke it down pretty well. From Real PD on X. Okay, most of you know I was in the organic baby formula business, but what you don't know is I dabbled in diapers as well. I also know this Baby to Baby, quote, nonprofit, and have had past interactions with them. Let's dive into this absolute grifting nonsense. He says, prepare to be shocked. He said California is about to spend $20 million of taxpayer money to give 100,000 newborns 400 diapers each through baby to baby. He says, do the math with me. 100,000 babies times 400 diapers equals 40 million diapers. So if you divide 20 million is the cost by the 40 million diapers, that's 50 cents a diaper. Now, if you've never bought a diaper, 50 cents a diaper is a lot. He points out you can go to Costco, he says, in California, buy the exact same quality diapers for 12 to 15 cents each. He says that's $48 to $60 for 400 diapers. So the state is paying 8 to 10 times more per diaper than a regular family that's buying in bulk. He says they could have just handed every low-income new mom $100 cash and told her to go to Costco. She'd get more diapers and better diapers if she wanted and have some money left over for formula, wipes, or whatever the hell she actually needs. Yeah, total grift, patting the pockets of friends and looking, trying to make it sound like you did something wonderful when all you're doing is just wasting money and it's not free. And now the reason I say on its face, I mean, there have been bills that Republicans have introduced in Washington state to do a sales tax holiday for diapers or just get rid of the sales tax altogether on baby items and essentials. That's much different. I mean, that's a much different, because you're not using taxpayer money to purchase the diapers. You're just saying we're not going to collect money into our coffers from sales tax on diapers. And Democrats in Washington state, what do they do with that bill? Rejected it. They rejected it. Oh, but if the bill had been, we'll use taxpayer money to buy overpriced luxury diapers so we can grandstand and say we did something wonderful, because they don't actually care about the moms. If they cared about the moms and the costs, they would have said no sales tax on baby items. They've had a million opportunities to do that. But that doesn't give them the win that they want, right? I asked you guys, though, maybe I'm just tainted. I don't have any kids. Do you believe the government should subsidize diapers for newborns? So it doesn't have to mean like buying 400 of them, but should they subsidize them in some way? Like, hand them out for free. Nicole?
Absolutely not. Actually, this is already a thing that if you are in need of diapers, you can get them. You can get them in the state. That's privately funded.
Private nonprofits.
Nonprofits that give diapers to people who need them. Why would the taxpayers need to be paying? This is California. Why would the taxpayers need to be paying for Cameron Diaz's newborn to get diapers?
Right, because they said every newborn, right? There wasn't every like a newborn. You had to prove need or whatever.
Every newborn.
Cameron Diaz.
She just had another baby at 45. Or 48. 48.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, good for her. Okay. Yeah, anyway, it's absolutely stupid.
Yes, that's ridiculous.
This is the kind of stuff that I want to help families, but the private sector can do that. You know how many charities there are? And as Nicole points out, you could go somewhere and find this stuff. You can absolutely do it. The government needs to have no involvement in it. Let's see, you guys, let's go to locals today. Let's give the locals folks a little bit of love. 83% says no.
Who's
no.
saying yes?
Well, apparently 16%, 17% on locals. CND Voss, how about they remove diapers from the list of things they have to pay a sales tax on as we were... Oh, wait, they killed that idea. Hypocrites? Yeah. Crafty Grandma Crispy, government shouldn't subsidize anything. They only make whatever it is more expensive. Free markets drive prices down with competition. Mellon says, once the government gets involved, everything goes up in price and the taxpayers end up paying for it. However, other countries subsidize children in lump sum payments to help out each month, like Sweden, Canada. Would be nice to get a small chunk of money each month instead of paying for boob jobs and trans inmates with our tax money. Well, look, you don't need to give people money. Stop taking so much of their money.
Right.
And the key is let them keep the money they're already working hard and making. So just stop taxing them to death.
And that is part of the millionaire's tax, where they're going to stop taxing diapers for babies and adults.
Yeah, but they're taking a popular policy and attaching it to this so they can say, oh, don't repeal the millionaire's tax because we want to give free diapers.
What you could do instead is not tax the millionaires and they'll contribute to the charities. But that's not going to happen anymore. I think charities in this state are going to take a gigantic hit by all of this.
Yeah, 100%. On our other platforms, much more outsized. 93% on Patreon saying, no, don't do that. Kevin, no way. The government needs to stop taking the personal responsibility away from people. The problem is that it creates a dependent state. Yeah, and I mean, I think, to be fair, most conservatives would say, who don't want people to have abortions, you know, then it's like, okay, well, if you want to take away their ability to be able to get an abortion or want to drive them toward, you know, raising a child, or even, I know someone will say, well, give it up for adoption. But, you know, there needs to, you can't have it both ways, is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes there is people who get pregnant who are down on their luck, and I agree that you shouldn't subsidize their child for the entirety of the child's life, but let's not punish the child by having them soil themselves with no diaper for circumstances that they had no control over whatsoever. But who am I? All right, we'll get to comments from the live stream, and we have a winner in our Constitution Wars with a massive bid for We Heart Seattle, and we might even have two winners. We'll discuss. First, we've been talking about, we partnered with First Mark Insurance for a long time. I love First Mark. I cannot say enough good things about First Mark Insurance. First of all, we love the owners. They're local. We love everyone on the team. They're fantastic. When you call them with an issue, you're not going to get some phone tree in Timbuktu. You're going to get local people, and you're going to be working with a local business. And so whether it's for your personal insurance needs or your business needs, I use First Mark for both. You just get this personalized care that makes it just feel like a family member is helping you out with your insurance and being honest with you about things. I cannot say enough good things. Robin, Carol, Debbie, Connie, all undivided viewers who are saving money with First Mark Insurance. Robin says, I'm saving $100 a month. Yes, $100 a month. And who couldn't use an extra $100 a month with $6.13 a gallon regular gasoline? Donald, it's getting up there. It's getting to the point where I might support Iran having a nuke. I'm kidding. Joke, obviously. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. So they always have your best interest in mind. Before we get to comments, so as you know, I launched Constitution Wars because Bob Ferguson, where was my graphic? Constitution Wars. I was waiting for it. Nicole's like, just trying to screw with me today. Because Bob Ferguson.
I was waiting for the big reveal.
I thought that was it.
Okay.
Oh, you want to try again? Take it down. Let's do it again. Constitution Wars. Great. Because Bob Ferguson auctioned off a signed copy of the Constitution, shocking it didn't light on fire, for $175. And I was like, oh, I kind of feel bad for him. He's the governor, and he could only get $175 for a signed copy of the Constitution. Maybe it's because Democrats just don't value it maybe in the same way, and it was a fundraiser for the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. So we're like, no, let's auction off a signed copy. I'll do a little personalized inscription. I'll hand deliver it. And so we opened up the bidding on Thursday. The bidding closed this morning. The winning bid is from an undivided subscriber named Brian. I'm only allowed to say first name. It's not Brian Haywood.
I was going to say
not Brian Haywood. See, now they're going to have this. Nope, not Brian Haywood.
It's going to be a conspiracy.
From a different Brian. And they bid $3,525. Wow. Now, here's what happened, however. Our friend Mike Dean, old sub sailor on YouTube, had the winning bid for like 2 days. It was $3,500. And then Brian swoops in, not Haywood, swoops in at the last minute, ups him by $25. Now, I'm not mad at it. I'm not bad. That's fair play. But I reached out to Mike Dean and I said, look, thank you for your generous bid. If you still want to make the $3,500 donation to We Heart Seattle, we'll do two copies of the Constitution. I don't think Brian's going to be upset by that at all. And so we are doing two. That's more than $7,000 raised.
Love it.
To our friends at We Heart Seattle. And we love your guys. It's just generosity. And thank you to all the other generous bidders as well. I'll send you all a little note of gratitude. But yeah, that's awesome. So we way out fundraised Bob Ferguson. We knew we would. Took like 5 seconds to out fundraise him. It really wasn't that hard. Holy smokes.
That's a lot of super chats.
Wow, you guys are so sweet. Is this because I'm having a rough day?
You were angry. So they throw money at you.
That's really nice of you guys. And Old Sub Sailor gave a $100 super chat, even though you just spent $3,500 on a donation to We Heart Seattle.
Sugar daddy.
Wow. Miranda says, this is Miranda. The chat has rallied. We are legion. Yes. Well, I appreciate you guys. I don't think I'm going to be able to get to all of these super chats, but very nice. I will read them all. Some for security. That's very nice. Yeah. That's you guys gross. Are, I just love
security.
You guys.
A lot of security. And contributions.
You know, it is frustrating because I think Nicole sees me the last, we've had some days the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Where I've walked in like in a, this happened today. We were going through a lot of drama with this person who'd been harassing me and all of this stuff. And then on those days, Nicole ends up having to do 95% of the show work. And so she's stressed out. I'm stressed out. I was crying last week. And then she was trying to make me not cry. And I'm just like, today I just asked her for a hug. I said, can I just have a hug? Because I'm just trying to do a local podcast. Do you know, do you get what I mean by that? Like, look, if I was James O'Keefe, that's just baked in. Like, you're going to get sued. You're going to have people try to kill you. It's like, we're doing a local podcast.
We're not in these people's face every day. No. We're not Cho. Not that any Cho deserves anything at all, but he definitely deserves respect, obviously.
Right.
But we're not in people's face. We're not harassing them. We're not giving out addresses. We're not, I mean, that, those are some of the things that are done.
And our opinions aren't even that controversial. Like, we're talking about
it's just
boys little, aren't girls.
Little pushback.
Right.
Pushback. And they
it's
can't
crazy
handle
what
it.
We've been dealing with. And I'm, again, I don't want to, it's not sad sack me. We signed up for this. Like, there is an element of it. I also think part of it is not necessarily me in this moment, but the political climate.
Right.
And there isn't really someone who does what we do in this, in Seattle or in Washington State, like, exactly, you know? And so, I don't know. They're just, some of these people are evil.
Sometimes
they're,
I think it's because we don't have that label, because the other, you know, Jason Rantz, Ari Hoffman, mm-hmm. they're considered Republicans.
And they deal with nonsense as well.
And they do.
I mean,
but
Ari has been dealing
but
with some
people
unreal
are
stuff.
Like, yeah, but they're already labeled something. Brandy doesn't have a clear label that people can attack. And so then that's why they have decided to pair you with all of these people and say, you're just
right
as bad as those Republicans.
Yeah, it is really something else. Let's see. Big Princess says, don't make me angry. You won't like me when I'm angry. The Incredible Hulk and also Brandy Cruz. Yes. Big Princess is also, they're doing this because Brandy says the Seattle Times is trash, and they are absolutely trash. On the PDC complaint filed against me, which again is a nothing burger because I have the First Amendment on my side. Okay. Looking up for Jesus says, since Brandy isn't in government, do PDC complaints even apply? No, but what they're doing is they're filing it against an organization and using me as the justification. So the organization will deal with it. I mean, I'll have to, if it becomes something that my time is being wrapped up in and isn't easily dismissed, then I'll probably have to just get a separate attorney and deal with it that way. Delaney, unfortunately for them, the vast majority of those 800,000 people also support these things, so they're going to be wildly unsuccessful. Look, they wouldn't be going after us if they didn't think we were effective and that our audience could be rallied to support these things as well. Dallas, so it would appear that their definition of ethical government is the character assassination of their political opponents who are not in government. Yeah, this or Washingtonians for ethical government.
If only everyone else could see it. If only the people that are blind to this manipulation that they trigger.
But
it's
crazy. I can't go through this for
even
nothing.
Even the name. Like, Brian Haywood finds a fun name. Let's go Washington.
Let's go!
A fun name. Let's go Washington. And they're like, ethical treatment. So it's deceiving, right?
Yeah.
Let's go Washington. You have to read up on what they're for because it doesn't say, you know, let's go Washington for kicking girls or boys out of girls sports or whatever. You have to figure it out. But their titles of some of these groups are really like, stop hate in Washington State.
Right.
Oh yeah. Want to do that.
Well, what was it called before then? Wa Families for Freedom.
Freedom.
That's, you know, they're very tricky. I mean,
very
they really are
sneaky.
Quite dubious. Let's see. Mary, they think that tying you to these issues specifically like gay marriage will ruin your reputation, but we know what you believe because you've talked about it many times. Just pull up the many podcasts. Yeah, I've literally never not supported gay marriage. You know who has been anti-gay marriage before? Obama, Hillary
Clinton,
Bob Ferguson. Virtually every mainstream Democrat that's been in politics was anti-gay marriage pre-2008. I've never been anti-gay marriage. So really, they're more anti-gay than I am. And trans is not the same as gay. It's not the same thing.
Nope.
Nicholas, they are afraid of you and us. They want to silence conservatives. They want to silence us for telling the hard truth that they don't like. Oh, and also, I'm not suicidal. So, Danette Beckley, you just said it, Brandy. Quote, it's the morally correct thing to do. That's why they hate it. Thank you for being the voice of reason. PO4G7AV. So they're calling and accusing her of having common sense. Sounds about right. Yeah. The point is not to have a successful investigation by the state into me because it'll be dismissed on First Amendment grounds. Mm-hmm. The point is to try to do the damage and it can't be undone. But again, I just don't care about my reputation anymore. I care about what you guys think of me, I guess. all my friends and stuff. But why would I care what, like, the Democratic political operatives think of me or their lists of donors think of me? It's just ridiculous. All right, we'll get to our closing sanity check. I love this one. Coming up next, first, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Now they're going to accuse me of being in the pocket of big landlords. No, because RHA is just for small and mid-sized landlords, and they are advocating for sane housing policy in the state of Washington. They're behind some of these really critical lawsuits trying to maintain private property rights that are really important. So if you want to become a member, they can help you on an individual basis, you know, with screening and forms and all of that. But they're also advocating for your interests and for property rights in the state of Washington all year long, not just during the legislative session. And they have events that are really fun for anyone interested in politics in Washington state. RHAWA.org, Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. And before I pour myself a mimosa for the day, which I feel like we deserve, let's get to our closing sanity check. What do you think, Nicole? Mimosa? God, I love a good mimosa. I do not know who is telling Senator Jamie Peterson, the ranking Democrat in the state Senate, to do these news interviews. Oh my gosh. So he's trying to defend their unconstitutional income tax on millionaires, right? So he's been doing interviews and none of them have been going well for him. And if I were a politician, right, I think my rule would be don't do interviews with people who are smarter than you. If you intend to try to mislead, right? I would absolutely not do that. So Jamie Peterson decides to do an interview with one of probably the last remaining good, tough political journalists in mainstream TV in Seattle, Hannah Kemp. Now, I love Hannah. I haven't talked to her in a while, but she was my former colleague at Fox 13. Hannah's great. Hannah's a serious journalist. She asks fair questions. And so you should really watch the full interview that Hannah Kemp did with Jamie Peterson, because it's fantastic and he is just squirming all over the place. But then he said, repeated this line that's easily disprovable, that there's no evidence rich people are fleeing.
The reality is the millionaire's tax is not likely to result in businesses leaving. Mm. The drivers that we heard about from them are concerned about the sales tax on services, concerned about the estate tax. Both of those things the legislature took action on in the last session.
You're saying that millionaires and business leaders are not leaving because of this and that they won't.
I don't have any evidence that millionaires or business leaders are leaving as a result of this tax.
Howard Schultz, Starbucks, people we've had on this show.
All of Nick Hanauer's friends.
Literally Nick Hanauer, all of his wealthy friends. I can't believe they keep saying this. And she was pushing back throughout the interview. We're just playing some little clips here on it. But she also did get him to admit, and this is going to come back to haunt him, I think, what he really wants is not an income tax on millionaires. It's an income tax on everyone.
Regarding a universal income tax for all Washingtonians, do you support that?
I personally absolutely do. That is not where my colleagues are, and I don't see any possibility that the legislature is going to impose such a tax.
Lies.
Right, but you can't predict the future, and you crafted the law so that way they can lower that threshold, correct?
No, the law does not permit the legislature to lower the threshold.
What? Well, you guys can come back and always lower the threshold because you didn't put a cap that it always should stay at $1 million, correct?
The legislature could also repeal the sales tax, or the legislature. Oh, I mean, there are a lot of things that the legislature can do in the future that are not constrained by the Constitution.
Yeah, but you can, and he won't admit it. Absolutely insane. There was all this other part in the interview, we don't have it, but she's talking about how it's unconstitutional, and he's like, no. He's like shouting at her and like leaning forward. I'm like, this guy's off his rocker. He's totally lost his mind. So Hannah Kemp, immune from all my criticisms of the rest of the media. Well, I mean, immune for the time being. You never know. Even though she's my friend, if there's ever something, I will call her out, but immune for the time being. Who else do I put on the immunity list? David Rose.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Jeremy Harris.
Yep. On the
immunity list. Chris Daniels is on and off.
But, mostly, you know, on.
Mostly on the immunity list. See, I'm not heartless. I don't hate all reporters and journalists. just the ones who work for the Democratic Party. All right, that has been our closing sanity check. I know you guys have my back. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me vent to you for 35 minutes today. to appreciate it. We still have a promo running. We do it every May, and it's 30% off an entire year. Best way, really, to support the show, just to sign up to become a subscriber, tell your friends about it. It is 30% off. Go to patreon.com/undivided. patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30. And again, 30% off an entire year. So I think that's a pretty good deal to support common sense news and information, and yes, commentary, and yes, support of the initiatives when I like them. Who knows? Maybe one day Brian Haywood will do an initiative I don't like. Haven't found one of those yet.
Mm-mm.
All right. I will be back tomorrow because I'm not suicidal. Not suicidal. Anything else?
We got this.
Yay, we got it. No, I'm more emboldened than ever. Be fun to watch their little dog and pony show and see how many members of the media bite after we've laid out that this is clearly a ridiculous thing.
I responded saying, please send us the link when you have it.
Let's see.
RSVPing right here.
So, and that's why they won't do it in person, because people go protest it. Losers. Losers. Anyway, cool. Fun time. See you tomorrow.